Tonight, the deadliest day yet since this pandemic started. New records in deaths and in new cases. 2,700 lives lost in just 24 hours. More than 100,000 Americans in the hospital fighting this virus. Tonight, news from several states coming in, including California. The governor there preparing his state for potential lockdowns where ICUs are near capacity. The mayor of Los Angeles telling residents to, quote, cancel everything. In Ohio tonight, where they're calling for mobile morgues. The CDC director now acknowledging the U.S. was severely underprepared for this pandemic. Tonight, President-elect Joe Biden just making news, saying he has talked with Dr. Fauci and has asked him to stay on in the same role. And Biden saying he's inclined to ask Americans when he's inaugurated to wear masks for 100 days, not forever, but for 100 days to help save lives. And Biden saying he will take the vaccine along with former Presidents Obama, Clinton, and Bush. Biden says when Dr. Fauci says it's safe. Also tonight, news late today about the Pfizer vaccine. The company reportedly slashing its initial shipment projections in half because of concerns in the supply chain. So bottom line tonight, how many doses expected for Americans by the end of the year? Pfizer saying that number has not changed. And ABC News getting an inside look at a United Airlines 777, the part of the plane that will carry this vaccine. Millions of Americans struggling to make ends meet in this pandemic. There is new movement at this hour on efforts to get them help. Mary Bruce, live in Washington. President Trump showing his frustration today with Attorney General Bill Barr after Barr declared there is no evidence of widespread election fraud. The president is asked, do you have confidence in Barr? How he answers. In the middle of this pandemic, California tonight battling a second emergency outside Los Angeles. Thousands of acres burning, families forced from their homes. The major winter storm moving into the Northeast, Philadelphia, New York, Boston, Rob Marciano timing it out. And the newly released video tonight showing the moment that famous telescope crashes to the ground. Scientists mourning this loss, and you've seen the telescope yourself in the movies.
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight with David Muir.
Good evening, and it's great to have you with us here on a Thursday night, and we witnessed one of the most difficult days yet in this pandemic. The deadliest 24 hours since this pandemic began, the highest number of new cases since this pandemic began. Tonight, California, for one, telling residents there to prepare for potential lockdowns once again, where ICUs are near capacity. And late today, President-elect Joe Biden making news, saying he has now asked Dr. Anthony Fauci to stay on in the same role in the Biden administration. And Biden saying when he's inaugurated, he'll ask Americans to wear masks for 100 days to help save lives. Tonight, more than 14 million Americans have now tested positive, more than 192,000 new cases in just the past 24 hours. And as I mentioned, more than 100,000 now fighting this virus in the hospital. Deaths now surpassing the peak last spring, at least 275,000 American lives now lost. Tonight, California's governor with that warning that there could very well be new lockdowns in areas where ICUs are close to capacity. Most businesses will shut down, including in-person dining and hair salons. Late today, Delaware's governor announcing a stay-at-home advisory and issuing a universal mask mandate. In parts of Ohio tonight, they're now asking for more mobile morgues. We have it all covered this evening, including new reporting as well on Pfizer's vaccine and concerns they had over the supply chain. So we begin here with ABC's Whit Johnson right here in New York.
Tonight, the governor of California says he is pulling the emergency brake, warning the state's 40 million residents to brace for likely lockdowns in just days.
We do not anticipate having to do this once again, but we really all need to step up. We need to meet this moment head on, and we need to do everything we can to stem the tide, to bend the curve.
A three-week stay-at-home order triggered when ICU capacity in a region falls below 15%, many areas right on the edge. Businesses like bars, wineries, hair salons would close. Any in-person schools could stay open, along with limited retail and takeout at restaurants. As California braces for potential lockdown, President-elect Biden making news, saying he has talked to Dr. Anthony Fauci, asking him to stay on.
I ask him to stay on in the exact same role he's had for the past several presidents, and I ask him to be a chief medical advisor for me as well and be part of the COVID team.
And the president-elect saying his inclination on Inauguration Day is to ask Americans to wear a mask for 100 days to help slow the virus and save lives.
In the first day I'm inaugurated to say I'm going to ask the public for 100 days to mask. Just 100 days to mask. Not forever, 100 days. And I think we'll see a significant reduction.
This, as the nation plunges into the darkest days of the pandemic, more than 2,700 American lives lost in just 24 hours. And this stunning admission from the director of the CDC.
This nation was severely underprepared for this pandemic. And I think we have to call it the way it is.
Morgues around the country starting to run out of room. Stark County, Ohio, bringing in a refrigerated trailer as COVID deaths climb.
Over the Thanksgiving weekend, we became completely filled out here at the morgue.
And hospitals bursting at the seams. At least 100,000 people now hospitalized with COVID, a new record.
It's because of this virus, okay?
If my beds are full of COVID patients, I can't deal with those patients that need me when they come in with acute heart failure. We don't have staffing for us, so therefore we don't have beds.
The CDC extending its travel warning through the end of the year, pleading with people to stay home.
As cases surge, the holiday season rush on testing continues. This drive-through testing site in Norwalk, Connecticut, many of the cars here lined up hours before the gates even open. Now you're seeing the numbers tick up again, correct?
Absolutely. The numbers are going back up, and we know that that's because people were exposed, and they're finding out through contact tracing that they might be at risk.
In Oklahoma, ICU nurse Lizanne Jennings lost her mother and husband to the virus within 3 days of each other.
I'm an ICU nurse and I help all these people and I couldn't save my own family.
Lizanne laying with her husband Dennis in his final moments.
I'm going to let you go now, okay? And he said, And I said, you're going to be in peace.
We have to remember these families every night here, and Whit joins us live again this evening, and we know late today, Whit, that we learned President-elect Joe Biden was also asked if he would take the vaccine and when.
David, the President-elect Joe Biden says if Dr. Anthony Fauci tells him it's safe, that he would get the vaccine, and he'd be happy to do it publicly, following the model of his predecessors. Three former presidents, Obama, Bush, and Clinton, all reportedly saying they would be willing to get it publicly as well. This is all an effort to try to communicate with the American public that the vaccine would be safe and critical to ending this pandemic. David.
All right, Whit Johnson live here in New York leading us off. Whit, thank you. And now to the massive task of rolling out the vaccine and convincing Americans and really people all over the world that it is safe. The Wall Street Journal first reporting today that Pfizer had initially wanted a larger rollout but had concerns, problems with their supply chain. Tonight, Pfizer indicating this will not affect the doses expected here in the U.S. by the end of the year. ABC's Gio Benitez tonight with late reporting.
Tonight, as the first doses of this life-saving vaccine are distributed, that news about Pfizer's supply just moments ago. The Wall Street Journal reporting Pfizer already dealt with early supply chain obstacles. The company slashed its initial projections of doses in half this year, from 100 million to 50 million doses worldwide, after finding raw materials in production that didn't meet its standards. Pfizer stressing the problems have been fixed and will still hit its target of delivering 20 million doses in the U.S. this month. Tonight, Dr. Anthony Fauci raising alarms, saying the U.K. cut corners and rushed the approval of Pfizer's vaccine.
They kind of ran around the corner of the marathon and joined it in the last mile.
He later apologized, but hoping to convince Americans the vaccine is safe, Fauci saying the FDA is carefully reviewing the data.
If we had jumped over the hurdle here quickly and inappropriately to gain an extra week or a week and a half, I think that the credibility of our regulatory process would have been damaged.
States and cities preparing for the biggest and most complicated vaccine rollout in American history. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo today unpacking a sample box of Pfizer's vaccine, which must be stored at minus 94 degrees, holding up a vial, each containing five doses. The box can only stay open for no more than 90 seconds.
This is the weapon that is going to win the war. And that is the light at the end of the tunnel, right?
New York City officials say 50 hospitals have the cold storage capacity to store a total of at least 1.5 million doses. The other Herculean challenge, convincing Americans to get vaccinated.
We need to be very transparent with patients.
Dr. Victoria Smith participated in the Pfizer trial in Louisiana.
One of the reasons why I wanted to participate was to be a model of participation and have my own example be a model of the safety of the vaccine and the process.
And tonight, convincing people is a priority, but delivering the vaccine will be a challenge like never before.
This is the biggest logistical challenge that the industry in general has ever faced.
ABC News getting an inside look at United's cold storage facility at Chicago's O'Hare Airport. The vaccines will be in refrigerated shipping containers, and those can be stored in even bigger refrigerators like this.
Fascinating look today from Gio, and he joins us live from Chicago's O'Hare Airport. And Gio, I wanted to get back, though, to that reporting about Pfizer's concerns over supply chain issues. The company tonight stressing that those concerns have been resolved, saying Pfizer will deliver the number of doses it promised here in the U.S. by the end of the year.
Yeah, that's right, David. Pfizer had some early manufacturing issues, but they say they corrected that months ago and that they're still on track to deliver those 20 million doses in the U.S. by the end of the year. Of course, that's if the FDA gives them that green light, and that could happen within just a few weeks, David.
All right, Gio Benitez with us live from Chicago tonight. Gio, thank you. Meantime, we continue to follow any movement on Capitol Hill as millions of Americans struggle to make ends meet in this pandemic. They wait for help, and there is movement again tonight. The first phone call in a month between Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell and House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. So let's get right to Mary Brew. She's live in Washington again tonight for us. And Mary, what have you learned?
Well, David, it was their first conversation on COVID relief since the election, and both sides are now sounding increasingly optimistic. Tonight, a growing number of Republicans are now backing that new $900 billion bipartisan compromise bill. But Republican leader Mitch McConnell's position still isn't clear. He's been pushing for a smaller, more targeted plan. Now, McConnell does say he thinks a compromise is in reach, and House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says she, too, is hopeful. But as always, the devil is in the details here. Now, President-elect Joe Biden has signaled that he will support this new compromise, even if it is just a start. While President Trump, his position is still an X factor. Tonight, it simply isn't clear what he is willing to sign. Lawmakers have now given themselves one more week to try and sort all of this out. David, the clock is ticking.
All right, Mary Bruce, on it all for us. Thank you. Meantime, President Trump tonight refusing to say whether he has confidence in his Attorney General William Barr after Barr declared that the Justice Department has found no evidence of widespread voter fraud that would change the outcome of the election. The president was asked today about his attorney general, and here's our chief White House correspondent, Jonathan Carl.
Still refusing to acknowledge he lost the election, President Trump is now lashing out at his own attorney general, Bill Barr, accusing him of not looking hard enough to find election fraud.
Well, he hasn't done anything, so he hasn't looked. They haven't looked very hard, which is a disappointment, to be honest with you.
In fact, just days after the election, Barr, in an extraordinary move, did authorize U.S. attorneys around the country to look for evidence of voting irregularities. But earlier this week, he told the Associated Press, quote, "We have not seen fraud on a scale that could have affected a different outcome in the election." ABC News has learned the president confronted Barr about those comments in a contentious meeting at the White House.
Do you still have confidence in Bill Barr?
Ask me that in a number of weeks from now.
Today in Wisconsin, the president was handed yet another defeat in court. He and his allies have lost or withdrawn more than 30 cases so far. But his lawyers are still on a traveling roadshow of states where they are trying to convince local Republicans to overturn election results.
I'm going to be very brief because I have a number of witnesses.
Last night, Trump lawyer Rudy Giuliani was in Michigan, where one Democratic lawmaker accused him of lying about election fraud because he wants to get a pardon for himself from the president.
You're attempting to seek a pardon, so why is this not part of that?
I will ask that he be disciplined for that. First of all, what he says is untrue. Second, that is a defamation of my professional character.
So let's get back to John Carl with us live from Washington again tonight. John, we know the president's allies have discussed preemptive pardons for members of the president's family, his children. We talked about that here last night. And now you've learned that just in the last week in Washington, Ivanka Trump sat for a 5-hour deposition in one case?
She sat for a five-hour deposition with the D.C. District Attorney General into an investigation whether the Trump International Hotel excessively profited from the Trump inauguration. Ivanka Trump has put out a statement calling the investigation, quote, a politically motivated demonstration of vindictiveness and a waste of taxpayer dollars. But, David, this may just be the tip of the iceberg. We know of at least two other investigations just into the Trump inauguration.
John Carl with us again tonight. Thank you, John. And in the middle of this pandemic in California tonight, they are battling a second emergency outside Los Angeles. Thousands of acres are burning right now. Families being forced from their homes. The bonfire roaring through the canyon southeast of Los Angeles, growing from 7 acres to 7,200 acres in just 24 hours. Mandatory evacuations underway tonight. And so what are these families to do? With the governor preparing California for regional lockdowns again, as many families try to stay safe from the virus and safe from these fires. ABC's Will Carr from the fire lines tonight.
Tonight in California, dual emergencies, a raging wildfire, and a painful pandemic. The bonfire in Orange County has scorched thousands of acres.
Go, go, go!
Forcing families to flee from their homes in the middle of the night.
The fire came so fast that Lark couldn't get in, so we literally had to depend upon other neighbors to come and grab horses, grab our dogs, cats.
Word tonight that two firefighters have been hurt in a region that has not seen significant rainfall in quite some time.
You can hear the flames eating through this bone-dry brush, which is acting essentially as a jet fuel for this fire.
Pushing the fire, Santa Ana winds with gusts over 90 miles per hour. Powerful enough to knock over tractor trailers in San Diego County, where the Willow Fire has damaged homes. And coupled with the extreme fire danger, California's looming stay-at-home orders announced today, which could leave families with few options if they're told to evacuate.
David, tonight with the winds fanning these flames and the smoke being pushed around, we're expecting red flag conditions into next week as part of a historic fire season that's showing no signs of letting up. David.
All right, Will Carr from Orange County, where they're dealing with so much tonight. Will, thank you. And when we come back here on the broadcast, the winter storm moving into the Northeast, Philadelphia, New York, Boston, and Rob is standing by to time it out.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Tonight, we are tracking a major storm set to move right up the coast. Several major cities, snow, rain, dangerous winds. So let's get right to Rob Marciano tracking it all for us. Hey, Rob.
Hi, Dave. The storm itself is in the southeast right now, gathering some moisture from the Gulf of Mexico. It will be gathering strength here over the next 24 hours. Here you see it, Atlanta. You'll see a rain event tomorrow, the Carolinas as well, then into the mid-Atlantic tomorrow night, strengthening off the D.C. and New Jersey coastline for Saturday morning. Heavy rain and wind during the day on Saturday, and some snow wrapping around. Could see 6+ inches in some spots. Winter storm watches posted now for parts of New England. David?
Rob Marciano with us again tonight. Thank you, Rob. Tonight here we have newly released video of that collapse, the loss of that famous telescope collapsing in Puerto Rico. The 900-ton platform at the Arecibo Observatory plunging 400 feet onto its reflector dish. That telescope helped scientists make significant discoveries in space for more than 50 years. The telescope also in several movies, including James Bond's GoldenEye. Finally tonight, happy birthday, Major Wooten. His name is Major Wooten. He was a private first class in World War II. He landed on Utah Beach 2 months after D-Day. Last year, he returned to Normandy. We reported on the 75th anniversary, traveling to France as well. And there he is, seated right in the middle, saluting. He's a father, a grandfather, a great-grandfather, and a great-great-grandfather, too. And he came down with coronavirus. He was taken to Madison Hospital in Birmingham, Alabama. And this week, they were lined up as Major Wooten prepared to leave, turning 104 today. And as Major Wooten left the hospital, Pop-Pop, as he's called, they sang to him, "Happy Birthday."
Happy birthday.
Major thanking the team.
Thank you. You're welcome. We love you.
And right here tonight,
hey, David.
His granddaughter, Holly, telling us he's home doing well, and he marked his birthday today.
We are just so blessed to have him home with us, and he is going to make it through it.
The family grateful for his team at the hospital.
Hey, David.
Right here, two of his nurses, Shelby Hogan and Sean King.
Even at 104 years old, he's fighting off this coronavirus just like so many other things that he's fought off in his life. He served our country, and we're so grateful for that.
A fighter indeed, 104, and we salute you, Major.